Let us pray and we'll get into Galatians chapter 4, 1 through 7. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here and worship you spiritually and practically as we prepare to hear your word. Father, I pray that you would prepare each individual believer, prepare us as a congregation. Thank you for those who are serving right now behind the scenes and getting the meal ready for us to partake in. God, you are good. And your goodness and your mercy endures forever. And we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, said in your word that you will lead us and guide us into all truth. Let that be the case this morning. I ask this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. And together as a family we said, amen. And as we begin the fourth chapter of Galatians, the Apostle Paul continues his mission to defend the true gospel by explaining the law, its proper use, grace, faith, and justification. We are sons and daughters of God by faith in the work of the cross. We must never lose sight of this fact. Condemnation or judgment is gone. We are not kept under the law. We are now under grace. Yes, the law is good, holy, just. We are no longer in bondage to it. Our freedom in Christ, the grace that we have received, should be our biggest motivating factor in living a life of love and service to God and others. We are heirs. What is an heir by definition? In messianic usage, one who receives his allotted possessions by right of sonship. One who receives his allotted possession by right of sonship. And you saw the title of the sermon is Servants, Sons, and Heirs. And that's what's going to be talked about in this portion of Scripture today, verses 1 through 7 of chapter 4. So the Apostle Paul starts in verse 1 of chapter 4 by saying, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." So let me just pause and explain that a bit. Practically speaking, the illustration that the Apostle Paul is making is that this child has an allotted possession that's awaiting them from their father. However, they're not mature enough or old enough to possess it or claim it. Therefore, they're in the same situation as the servant of that household. And even though the child has that, they don't have the ability yet to claim it. Verse 2 says that that child, even though they're an heir, they are under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Now, important terms here, because last week we talked about schoolmaster, and that's what the law is. A tutor was a slave who protected the underage heir. Governor were trustees or a trustee who were responsible for the heir's other needs until he came of age or until the appointed time of the father. And that illustration is being made of you and I is those of you who are somewhat newborn, so to speak, in the faith. Perhaps if you are new to Christ, there may be a little bit of tutoring, so to speak, that's still going on. Now, when you are born into the family of God, you become instantly free from the bondage of the law, but you may not be operating or walking in that freedom as of yet. And there are distinctions made in the Word of God between little children. And in fact, further on, if you read in chapter 4, the apostle referenced little children, calling the Galatians little children. Those would be those whose sins are forgiving. In 1 John 2, chapter 12, the Apostle John says, "I write unto you little children, spiritually speaking, because your sins are forgiven." So you're born into the family of God, your sins are forgiven, but there's much growth that needs to occur. And then there's the young men, that have overcome the wicked one. In the same passage of 1 John chapter 2, they're strong, it says, and they've overcome the wicked one. And then in 1 John chapter 2, 13a, we'll call it, the same apostle inspired by the Holy Spirit, John says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. That's God, the Father, through Jesus Christ, that is from the beginning. And let me just say this to you, that right now the Galatians are operating as little children. They don't fully understand what they've received. They don't really fully understand the inheritance that they have received by faith in Christ. And the Apostle Paul is making these modern day, at that time, illustrations so they could comprehend it. And so they can get some clarity, because right now there's been confusion brought in by those that are saying you must keep the law along with grace, which simply is not true. It's a perversion of the gospel. But to get to a place of maturity in Christ, how can you recognize it? It's a place of grace. It's a space of grace. Fathers of the faith, so to speak. And remember, the Apostle Paul called himself one. He said, although you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. He was referring to himself. Now, there's only one holy father. That's God. But he was speaking to himself. He was speaking to the Corinthians in spiritual terminology, the same way he's speaking to the Galatians right now. And to get to a place where you just rest in the grace of God and you walk and you operate in that grace, that's how you can recognize a spiritual father or mother in the faith. They understand the inheritance. They understand what they have been given freely. They understand they've been justified by the work of the cross. And they walk in a place of grace. You can see that they're not bogged down by all the worries of the world. You see, they're not caught up in all the minors that Christians get caught up in. Why? Because they've known him from the beginning. That's why. And my prayer for you today is that those of you who have been walking with the Lord for many, many years would get to that place of grace. That you would rest in that grace of God. I remember years back as a young Christian, and you think back and you can always tell the younger Christians. A lot of zeal, sometimes a lot of law. And they're always so concerned about what other people are doing. Oh, I saw this person do that. Oh, I couldn't believe this person did that. Oh, I saw this person at that place. Oh, I saw that. And they're not resting in the grace of God. When you're operating and walking and enjoying the grace that is in Christ Jesus, you're concerned about your relationship with the Father. Why? Because you know him. And it takes time to get to a place of maturity, just like it does in the physical realm. You have babies, you have little children, toddlers, and then you grow. But here's the tragedy of Christendom at times. There's some who have been walking with the Lord for many years, and yet they still fall into the little child or young men category. And yet they're 50, 60, maybe even 70 or 80 years old. Pray that's not you or me, that we would walk in the grace, that we would not try to mix the law and grace and not try to push that on other believers as well. He says this in verse 3. He says, even so we, when we were children, there it is again, the illustration, were in what? Bondage under the elements of the world. Children, they have a lack of understanding, a lack of maturity, in bondage under the elements of the world. They don't understand the eternal. They don't really have a full understanding of the God that they've committed their lives to. And if you're under bondage to some other element, maybe a false God or a false hope, I pray that you are released from that today. This still rings true today for any that are under the law or lost. God has designed each person to worship someone or something. God, it says in the scriptures, has set eternity in the hearts of men. Now, it is true. Hinduism, who has millions of gods, they're right. They're absolutely right. Hinduism is correct. There are many little g. There are many millions of gods in the world, but there's only one true living Most High God. And you come to him only through the work of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, of course, made of a woman, that was the Virgin Mary, made under the law, to redeem, that's an accounting term, that means to buy back, to purchase, them that were under the law, that's the lost, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. Now, verse 4 and 5, broken down, fullness of time, meaning the perfect timing. And God's timing is perfect. And part of the struggle we have as followers of Christ is surrendering and submitting to that time. You want to know a father? They're in submission to God's timing. You want to know a mother of the faith? You want to know somebody who rests in the grace of God? They rest in the timing of God. God sent forth his son Jesus, made of a woman, flesh and blood, born of a virgin, had to be to fulfill the law. Made under it, to redeem, purchase back. Now that's a very important term in this verse, in this context, because it applies to the word adoption. So to purchase back, Jesus was born to die, them that were under the law. Who is that? Whosoever. Whosoever. That's mankind. All like sheep have gone astray. There are none good, no, not one. By nature and by choice, that we may receive, how? Freely, the adoption of sons. The adoption. Adoption is to legally belong to God, our Father, by the redemption. That's the buyback program of God that is in Christ Jesus. You legally, that word adoption means you now legally have rights to not just be the son, but as a son or a daughter, you are also now the heir to all the riches of God. All of God's righteousness has legally been transferred over to you. And again, when you understand the goodness of God and the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God, you walk in that freedom. You rest in that and you hope in that. Your hope starts to change. Your hope becomes vertical, not horizontal. It troubles me when I see how much people get caught up in what's going on in the present, the here and the now. How much people are paying attention to the reels on social media. How much we're paying attention to this person and that person. And you really can only trust one anchor, and it's the Word of God. You can trust the Word of God. It's been tried. You don't have to get caught up. Keep a light touch on the world. The Word of God says this in James, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father and is this, to help the fatherless, widows, and orphans. But people always forget this part, to remain unspotted by the world. When you're in a place of grace, you remain unspotted by the world. You don't get caught up in all this stuff. That's what young men, that's what young women do. That's what little children do. They get caught up. Fathers and mothers, as Paul is trying to explain, understand their position in Christ. They're not just servants. They're not just sons and daughters. They're heirs. They have an allotted possession awaiting them. And that's what they're focused on. The Father. They know him. And they get to know him better each and every day as they walk with him. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. That's your inner man crying, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is an Aramaic term of affection, Papa or Daddy. And I just referenced the verse, he's a father to the fatherless. It's from a root signifying a nourisher, protector, upholder, conveys respect and authority. Isn't that beautiful? See, you know God. You just know him and you rest in him and you love him and you serve him. And your desire is to get to know him better. That becomes your purpose now. It's not ministry. It's not speaking, it's not service, it's not what God can do for you, it's how to get to know the one that loves you most. Amen. That's it.
And you understand that as you begin to grow in Christ. And you're not under bondage to all these elements of the world anymore. Your chief aim and your chief desire is to prepare yourself for eternity when you'll be with the Father forever and ever. He's Alpha and He's Omega. Verse 7, wherefore, thou art no more a servant. Isn't that beautiful? Thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, here it is again, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. I want to just, with the time we have remaining, cross over to the Gospels where Jesus is speaking. And Jesus is speaking in the Gospels, and He's speaking to His disciples. And He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Interesting enough, our scripture reading today was about love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Jesus, again, speaking to His disciples, if you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants. That's one of the three terms today, servants, sons, and heirs. I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Well, why didn't Jesus say sons? Because the cross had not occurred. The disciples were children in understanding. They were still kept under the law. They could not receive the allotted possessions or riches of God as heirs yet. And nor can you, if you're still under the law. Nor can you, if you have not been born into the family of God and been legally adopted by God, then you're in the same position, the disciples before the cross. You have little to no understanding of what the scriptures speak of right now. Do you remember when Jesus told Peter, when you are converted, go and strengthen your brethren? I wonder what Peter thought. You know what he thought at the time? He had no idea what Jesus was talking about. Because Jesus was speaking of spiritual matters. And Peter was simply a child in understanding. But do you remember what happened after the cross at Pentecost when they were praying and praying and praying? The Holy Spirit came upon them. All of a sudden, they started to have that understanding. Because Jesus said, I will send one, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter. He will remind you of these things. And all of a sudden, they begin to grow. They weren't little children anymore. They weren't so worried about who was the greatest. They weren't so worried about washing their hands before they ate. They weren't so worried about kosher and dietary laws. They were concerned about people getting to know the Father through what Jesus Christ did. He says, Jesus says in the same passage, for all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask in of the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And this is what heirs do. They're mature, they've received the love of God, the Spirit of adoption, and they love one another. And so with that being said, I want to go to one more passage, and this is in the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, and I think you know it well. It's a very well-known parable, and it's very personal for me because I've lived this parable. And Jesus says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls or belongs to me. Now, you have to understand, as the younger son, you get less of an inheritance in that culture in that day, only a third being the younger. And he divided unto them his living. Now think about this for a minute. Understand, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Think about this for a minute. This son comes very boldly, very arrogantly, if you think about it, to his father. He's the younger son. He's not even the older son. He's the younger son. And he says, Abba, if he even called him that, may not have been too much affection there at that time. But he says, Dad, give me my possessions. Now, you're not supposed to inherit these possessions as of yet, but for some reason the father says, here you go, son. And let me just tell you, fathers and mothers, there comes a time in your child's life where you need to give them what they ask for, even though you know it's not what they need. Let me say it again. You need to give your child what they ask for, even though you know it's not what they need. Why? So their father can take care of them, their heavenly father. And as you pray, they can find out a lot of times what we call the hard way. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. He was a fool. And when he spent all of it, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. If you are a son, if you are a son of the Most High God, there will come a famine, a lack in your life. And mom, and dad, and grandparent, that's when you just pray and you're patient. And you let the work of God take course in your child's life. You let the Almighty do His work. And you see, a father of the faith and mother of faith will rest in the promises of God and the sovereignty of God. One of my new phrases is this. It's very simple. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. You know Him? God is sovereign. As hard as it may be for you. And he went, and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. That son, that daughter, that person you love so much, they will be humbled. They will hit rock bottom. And when he came to himself, I love how the scriptures say that, when he realized he was in a pig pen, literally, nothing and no one, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. True repentance. Godly sorrow works repentance. Where did he find repentance? In a pig pen. In a pig pen he found repentance. Not worldly sorrow, godly sorrow that works true repentance, conversion. And I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And this is where it turns to the Father. Your Heavenly Father. And he arose and came to his father. But when he saw him a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know what that says? The father was waiting. He was praying. He was watching. Was anticipating. The sonship never changed. You never stop being a son. God saves you and he seals you. Whether you're in his house or you're in a pig pen, the sonship, your position in Christ doesn't change. He already took the allotted possessions, but he's going to find out what the greater possession is shortly. He runs. That's very inappropriate for a man in that culture. Doesn't matter. Comes to your children, doesn't matter. You'll do embarrassing things. He runs to him. He falls on his neck and he kisses him. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. And even as I read that, I can just sense the humility in that passage, the brokenness, contriteness, broken in a contrite heart, God will not despise. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. Now, the things that he wanted, all those possessions that were given to him before the fullness of time, that he went and he wasted, they're all gone. But now, what does the Father do? Now what he gives him all belongs to him. Now they're one, the Father and the Son. They're one, and he puts the robe upon him, reserved for the special occasion, clothed in the righteousness of the Father, and the ring signifying the authority and the place of the Son in the family, that you are connected to the Father. And the sandals signifying, you are not a servant, you're my son, you've always been my son. Even in the pig pen, you've been my son. Nothing will change that. Nothing will pluck you out of my hand. Nothing. See the inheritance? You know what the best inheritance is? You know what someone who's in a position of grace and understanding of grace realizes? That the best inheritance is the Father himself. It's not the riches of God. It's not what God can give you. It's just the Father himself. That's it. And now the Son knows this. But he had to be broken. He had to be crushed. He had to be where no man would help him. He had to be in lack. He had to be in a pig pen. And some of the mothers right now, you're on the verge of tears. You're already crying because it's so hard for you. And I understand that as a father, but you must let our Heavenly Father do his work. Amen. You must. By you helping is hindering the work of the Father. Let go, surrender, and submit to the will of the Almighty God. And let patience have its perfect way. Are you praying? Are you waiting? Are you anticipating? Listen, one more beautiful fact to this parable. He says, bring hither the fatted calf. Now, I am not a farmer, but my wife is. And here's what I know. To get a calf a little bit fatter, you got to keep it a little bit longer, and you got to feed it a little bit more. Do you know what that means? The Father knew at some point his son would come back to the Father's house. At some point, he'll come back. He was anticipating. He was prayerfully waiting for him to come back. So now he says, go and get that fatted calf. It's time to celebrate. Amen. And by the way, what words of condemnation were there? None. What words of judgment were there? None. Son, I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you wasted all the possessions. I can't believe, no, none. That's not who the Father is. That's not who our Heavenly Father is. No. You're no longer under condemnation. You're my son. You've been adopted. You legally belong to me. And nothing will change that. I sign the papers in blood. Amen. He said, kill the calf, let us eat and be merry. And I want to tell some of the parents in here today. To get the calf ready. I want to tell some of the parents in here to get the calf ready. Your hope is in Christ. Your job is to prepare the calf. Prepare the fatted calf. For that son or daughter who you know they know this Jesus, this Christ that we speak of, and God in the fullness of time, they will come back, but it may come through some brokenness, some pain. And when they come back, you don't give words of condemnation. You say it's party time. And the fatted calf in those days, maybe the whole community would come. Kind of like the meal today we're going to have. Prepare the calf in anticipation of your son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, whoever it might be, niece, nephew, for their return to the Father's house. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Alma and Alice Vincenzo, come back up if you would. We'll finish just a tad earlier today because of the meal and because the Bills kick off, I guess. 1:15, Barry. He walked out. It was just a joke, Barry. You get me a lot. All right. But I'll just reiterate this point. The best inheritance, when you realize the best possession is the Father, Abba, you truly, truly become an heir of all that God has in store for you. You're not just a servant. Although God does say, isn't it interesting at the end, what does he say to those who serve him faithfully? Well done, good and faithful servant. But more than a servant, you're a son, and you're more than a son. If you're a son, you're an heir to all the riches, all the possessions of God. He has waiting for you. And I think you forget. And I think you and I forget about the goodness of God. And I think we forget what God remembers. I think when you forget that when you give a cup of cold water to somebody in need, God remembers that. You forget that when your tears go down your face, those tears go into a bottle. And you forget that God is not a man that he should lie. You're not just a servant. You're a son and an heir to all the Father has for you. Paul is saying to these Galatians, the law can only keep you in a jail cell. You can be more than a servant, but you can be a son and an heir. I want you to think about this to end. I'm going to end with the scripture, but I want you to think about this before I end with God's word. When people pass from this earth, what is the price tag you put on them? How much money is their presence worth? Those of you who have lost loved ones, how much? If they leave behind everything, they're still gone. You see, the riches of God is God himself. The riches of the Father is the Father himself. That's the greatest reward you and I have awaiting if we're in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to end with this verse. Colossians 1, 12 through 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to remember that we are more than just servants. We are sons and heirs if we've truly come to know the Christ that these scriptures speak of. Father, I would ask anybody in this auditorium today, if they do not know yet this loving, gracious Father, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Father, if there's anybody here that needs to pray, if there's anybody here that needs to talk, that they would seek out someone amongst this church family, a pastor, elder, deacon, or just a brother or sister in Christ to do so. That as we prepare to partake in this meal together, Lord, that the love of God would flow in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.